And welcome to another episode of Common Ground with my co-host Sherry Salas. Sherry, how are you doing? You know, you could talk. And we have a very interesting topic today, but we just want to confirm with, you know, what we do here in Common Ground. Our last show, Sherry, by the way, got 6,200 views, and Chris was actually on that show. That was amazing. On Proposition 4, got a lot of response on that on both sides of the aisle. It was actually posted on a lot of Democrat pages as well as Republican pages. Wow. And it was kind of cool. I think we might have influenced the outcome in that by people actually reviewing
it. I thought it was some good content on both
and
sides.
Deciding what, you know, our tagline, Dakota, is, you know, we discuss, you decide. So we don't really put our opinions in. We let our audience decide by listening to you guys. And it's like a sitting around a coffee table discussing the issue. And that's what we're going to do today on the death penalty. Of course, we have that issue in the state of Texas, which I'm sure we'll bring up. And it's a topic that I think is pretty timely right now, and we're excited to get it going. So our two guests today to discuss the death penalty is Dakota Rudzig, who is he actually is 45 years old, but he looks like he's 21. And Dakota, thanks so much for coming. Community activist, involved in a lot of different types of, I won't tell the walk, because you can tell the walk that you did. Walk for Our Lives, right?
March for Our Lives.
Thank you, that too. March for Our Lives. And he considers himself an independent, and he's going to take the position. Well, I'll let you tell us. Tell us a little bit about yourself and your position on the death penalty.
My name is Dakota Rudzig. I was raised in Northeast Ohio and moved down here to Texas in 2014. I'm a community activist. I was involved in March for Our Lives Fort Worth as an organizer as well as a speaker. I've worked with a nonprofit, Represent Us. And I've also been a field director on the 2018 Justin Snyder for Congress congressional campaign. I identify as libertarian left, and I am against the death penalty.
Libertarian left. Wow. That's the first time I heard that, right?
Yeah.
There is a libertarian left, libertarian right.
People are going to bring us so much.
I'm telling you, it's going to be exciting political atmosphere over the next 20 years. That's for sure. So you're against the death penalty.
Correct.
And, you know, just in a summary, tell us, you know, a couple of, well, actually, hold on to that. Chris, tell us who you are. We heard you last 2 weeks ago, and give us your background.
My name is Chris Betts. I work in cybersecurity for a large infrastructure organization. I've worked through multiple organizations throughout the country for political campaigns, from grassroots activism through even city council races all the way up to congressional. Worked on senatorial campaigns, got a lot of really great people. I'm not a party person, I'm a policy person, so I want to push for good policy that's good for everybody and good for what I believe is going to be the best for America and Texas. And I'm the biggest Texas patriot you probably will ever find. And
wow.
I'm pretty cocky about that. So we can put that on.
Look at that.
He said before the show that he was going to be cocky today.
There's lots of good momentum going on. So
he put
great.
It out there. I am.
I'm self-aware. I can take some etiquette classes too, probably. But
So I've read the pros and cons on the death penalties, and it's kind of a death penalty, and it's pretty interesting. So let's start off with one of them. Chris, you know, really give us one example of why we should continue with the death penalty.
Rapists, I mean, are like very, very heinous situations and crimes. So think about some of these people out there. There's something that's so crazily wrong that there's no way to rehabilitate that person. There's no way to fix that ideal,
yeah,
that mentality.
Do we give death penalty for rapists?
No, we don't. But if there's I
get what
wrong,
you're saying, like
stuff,
rape and then
so
murder.
The next show,
like the really awful
very
things
heinous,
that I see.
Right.
That
right.
I
the
see,
next show is castration. Is it ethical?
Well,
am I going to be here too for that one?
No. I know what you mean. I watch Forensic Files.
Well, yeah. So it's not, but like very heinous things. And so the death penalty doesn't get handed out for parking tickets. It doesn't get handed out for anything else. Plus our Constitution, the Fifth Amendment talks about it and the ability to do that with a grand jury of 12 people. So there's lots of limitations. And I believe that the jury typically errs on the side of caution instead anyway, but there's plenty of examples.
But why the death penalty? I mean, there's incarceration for life. Why would we take someone else's life? What is the main reason in your estimation?
There's multiple reasons. So number one, just from like a fiscally conservative standpoint, not to put a dollar amount on everything, but what's the cost of that on the taxpayer of somebody who's going to be a burden no matter what. And then that person took away somebody else's life or multiple people's lives from other families. What about the retribution aspect? So you don't want retaliation, you want equal retribution. That's something that
let's hold those 2 points. So Dakota, what do you think about those 2 points that Chris raises about the cost to keep someone on, I guess, quote unquote, death row, and the retribution, eye for an eye, right? Is that what you basically you're saying? You know, you killed someone in my family and you should receive the same punishment?
I'm I think sure. retribution sounds
okay, retribution.
Kinder than an eye for an eye.
So what do you think yeah. about that?
I believe that the cost incentive for the death penalty is overstated significantly. It has no validity. In Texas, an execution costs on average of $2.3 million, which is three times as much as 40 years in prison in a single cell on maximum security. So it costs more, and it doesn't have an effect on crime rates. As well as retribution, I completely understand the point. When you see these heinous crimes, you can't help but want something bad to happen to the person who committed them. But...
well... not necessarily us four, but perhaps, you know, the mother to a child or, you know, like, I, you know, if you have a young daughter who's raped and then killed.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of where the retribution. I don't know that the public at large maybe identifies with retribution, but it is something that's offered to the victim's remaining family members. Right. Yes. No. What are you guys? Come on now.
Yeah. No, I think it's not necessarily like. The retribution stance is, it goes both ways. So there's also, you know, we've all seen those movies that are heavily outlandish about somebody going and getting revenge. And nobody wants that to happen. That's ignorant. That's taking the law into your own hands. Like Taken. I mean, Liam Neeson's kind of awesome in that movie. But we don't want that to actually happen. We don't want anything like that. And that's not saying that the retribution or equality of the law is going to do that. But, like, you have the punishment that fits the crime. And so you take away a life, the punishment has to fit that crime. And so a lot of times we even in Texas still, the death penalty is not enacted as much as a lot of people think that it is. And the grand jury typically errs on the side of caution, says, okay, well, maybe it's not worth his life, throw him in jail for life. You know,
but doesn't that kind of go to his point where you're right, Texas doesn't use it as much as people think, but we do have several sitting on death row. And to incarcerate them in that area costs a lot more than the regular prison, right? Am I wrong? Somebody
correct me? That's correct. It's three times as much.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Well, I'm fine with finding the cheapest method possible. I mean, if we're going to cut someone down, I'm not really worried about how comfortable they are.
Well, they say the real cost comes from...
Lord, you said that out loud.
The real cost comes from the legal expenses to keep these prisoners on death row because they're always entangled in, you know, these lawyers trying to get their client off and get them free. And it costs the state a lot of money to do that, and typically the prisoners are represented by subsidized lawyers for the state, so we pay on both sides, and I think those costs add up, and I think people that are against the death penalty would probably say that. What do you think about that, Chris?
With the cost being just outland, I mean,
the cost, like I think Dakota mentioned a certain figure, what it cost. Well, you mentioned what it costs a year, so you have that's in favor of it. But the cost to defend the death penalty, because let's face it, by the time they get to death row and by the time they're executed, so much money is wasted to go through the process. And I think what Dakota said is that you could use that money better for crime prevention or other means.
Well, you can do a lot of that stuff. I mean, the issue there is not necessarily the death penalty itself, but the issue there is bureaucracy itself. That issue is that the government is heavily inefficient at doing anything. And so if you're able to get into the fact and create a streamlined process to do that, which I don't necessarily want that, because while I'm for the death penalty, I'm not for rushing the process at all. I want to make sure that we're taking care of people. And if somebody is innocent, I want to give them every chance to prove their innocence.
Well, then it costs money.
Right. So that's the thing. It's that double entendre, that double-edged sword. And so I want to leave that. I don't ever want to get rid of it because I want that option to be there, because I do believe it's the Institute for Empirical Policy Analysis has a lot of studies.
Okay, explain that. You lost me.
So there's an institute for the Empirical Policy Analysis. They're actually for the death penalty, and one of their researchers, I don't have any of my papers, but I can get you all of the information. But they talk about how it is a massive deterrent having the death penalty in a state. It's a huge deterrent. There's lots of empirical data to show that. I don't have the data on me. I can show you the information. It was posted in Policy Analysis
Dakota,
Weekly.
What do you have to say about it?
Yeah, go for it.
It isn't. And the numbers show that 80% of executions in the U.S. are carried out in the South, despite the region having the highest murder rate per capita of any other region in the U.S. So there isn't any evidence to really back it up as a deterrent. Even people who say that it may have some effects say that it's marginal, if any.
I have to admit, I read somewhere, and I'm sorry I didn't cite it. I should have. I had it on my computer.
Part of the rules of the show.
I had it on my computer, but I took it down because it's been a minute since we were supposed to do this. So I read something that said Canada took away its death penalty, and then its murder rate dropped by 44%. So how do we explain that? No?
I have to see the study. I have no idea.
And there wasn't even a study. It was just a statement in another article. So, okay, well, so you're not.
But you got to see what those murders are attributed to, because a lot of stuff, if they're in there for a long time, there's murders inside inmate to inmate and stuff like that that goes on as well.
That is true.
Right. So, and again, I don't debate you guys. You guys bring the information. But some of the information I found, there was...
Hey, wait. This isn't a debate. It is a constructive conversation.
Sorry. So Dr. David Mulhausen, October 4, 2014, had a paper, Capital Punishment Works, It Deters Crime. And he actually listed a whole group of studies. Is that the one? Yeah.
Yeah.
That you're checking my notes. And so he showed the study that there was a deterrent. And I know the other side says that it really isn't a deterrent. And I guess it's based, I also have their study as well, that there's no evidence that. So it just seems like we don't really have a defined answer whether it is a deterrent or it isn't, because I saw both sides as you read it.
Right. And it's one of those things too, like until we go to a point where we don't have a death penalty and then we can see the actual difference there, then we don't have any actual actionable data. We have data showing North versus South, like you mentioned, which are Texas. The South is entirely different than Northeast. Texas is the best, but like even Texas and Florida are still very different cultures entirely in their own. And so that kind of can play into a lot of different factors. So there's lots of just cultural differences. There's lots of everything. There's a whole lot of information that can go into play in different parts. Kind of like, just for an example, like a global warming like debate. There's tons of information that gets thrown around, and people say it is, people say it isn't. There's lots of information there. So it's just a plethora of data that we don't have that's necessarily actionable, because there's difference in culture, regional, geographical, that are going to show differences that can't necessarily be related entirely perfectly.
And we've seen situations, and again, the pro-death penalty people also state, you know, this is a good time for closure for families because they've suffered mentally from the loss of their child or relative or friend or whatever, policeman, and they see this as a closure to it. So, Dakota, what do you think about that, as the death penalty being that finite closure for a family that might have suffered from their relative being murdered?
Well, I feel for the family, and I understand where it comes from. I, from an emotional standpoint, understand wanting them to be put to death. But this is a human being, and do we really believe that the state should hold the power to kill someone? Once they're incarcerated, they're neutralized, and they are stripped of their right to self-defense.
Sorry, I shouldn't interrupt you. Go ahead.
At that point, they are helpless, and we're murdering them. It is murder. Don't get it twisted. Yes, they did something horrible. But do we want to live in a country that has the option to put people to death just because someone wants them dead?
Well, I don't think I'll let Chris answer.
Well, I mean, history, every country in the history of the world has always done that to protect their good populace. And while I get what you're saying, they're supposed to be helpless in those situations, but crime rates and return crime, which if they're in there for life, that's not a situation, but crime rates and the crime inside the jails is still ridiculous. I mean, if you look at like weapons, murders, assault, attacks inside there, they're not entirely helpless. It's not like they're sitting in. They're sitting strapped around where they don't have any way to take any action on anybody else. They're kind of kept in their away, kind of like, you know, they're like their own little colony of people they're not supposed to affect with anybody else. And I get what you're saying there. I think that's a very valid argument. But I mean, with our overburdened jail system already, I think that there's a situation there where the government, I mean, we go to war to defend people. We go to war to attack people. We do lots of things. The government does have that role, and that is there to protect people that don't have any other option or that are unable to protect themselves. It's the same reason why we have a police force and stuff, same reason like that. So people can be protected from the heinous. And there's some crimes that are just too heinous where life without parole can still be a thing where they're in there. But There's, we all know that, we don't all know, but there's lots of information out there that talks about how these jail networks actually get information out. The Aryan Brotherhood can have information get out and then go after people that have went against them. So the crime family actually extends beyond those prison walls still. So, until we start going and actually handling issues, I'm not trying to say like go and like exterminate people. I don't want that by any means. I want to err on the side of caution as much as possible, but I think we just need to like more worry about, instead of protecting the person who took somebody else's life already, start worrying about the people who've been trying to live their lives and had something taken from them innocently.
Yeah. And there's a couple things to unpack there. You talked about murder rates in prisons.
Yeah.
And yes, murders do happen in prisons, but with capital murder cases, life without parole, it's a high security environment. They're watched closely. These people haven't seen the sky in years. They don't have the same freedom that low to medium grade security inmates have where that kind of violence occurs. As for intervention from the government, that is one thing. And you can defend yourself in the field, assuming that you have good reason to believe that you are in danger. Say a police officer feels that they are in danger, while they may be wrong about that, and that may be determined at a later date, technically the law gives them that right. I believe that they should exercise every possible step to de-escalate that situation before resorting to deadly force.
So you're saying that an inmate doesn't necessarily have that luxury.
They don't have that luxury.
Yeah.
Especially when put on death row, you are sentenced to death, where instead you could wither away. And honestly, I feel being left alone with your thoughts until the day you die is the worst punishment of being put to death.
Yeah, I've heard that too, but
yeah, but
some people don't care. I mean, some people hit that. There's some people that are just entirely dehumanized to things. I mean, we see it in everyday life, not with murder, but like you do something once, you do something twice, you get dehumanized to it, and you normalize that within your mental state. And
right.
So,
serial killers are a perfect.
Yeah, example. I mean, if you go get Charles Manson, I'm pretty sure he's not sitting with his thoughts worrying about like what happened to those people. He's like, hey, yeah, like whatever, cool, next, let's. Yeah, I mean, he's a very extreme case. He's
absolutely
a very extreme case. So
before we go forward, I want to understand something from both of y'all because I think it's important for the audience to hear. Do we think our current justice system is nowhere near broken and or that there are not some flaws that may automatically impede just the whole thought process of the death penalty? I mean, because the Innocence Project has been born from something, and they have found 362 wrongfully convicted via DNA, 20 were on death row, and they have located 158 true perpetrators. So they went out and found the actual people that
right.
created the. I mean, so isn't that proof that there is an issue? And what number should that be at as Americans for us to have a problem with free Americans suffering from something per a possible broken system or crippled system?
Do you know what the numbers are on that? Like, what's the total amount of people that are on death row compared to that? Like, what's the ratio of correction?
I do not know, but as an American, I don't truly care that much.
Well, I'm just asking
for two people too many for me.
No, I agree.
I'm just trying to be generous by giving one, and really, I don't want to say one.
No, I agree with you. Like, I don't think that our justice system is perfect by any means. I think it is more perfect than justice systems that have been enacted elsewhere, instead of like a dictatorship or like death panels where it's bureaucrats selecting these
yeah.
things instead of a grand jury of your peers. I think that we definitely need work. We definitely have the Innocence Project has a mission that's there, and I'm very grateful that situation is there. I'm not saying that the death penalty is the option. I'm saying I'm not saying that is the one thing we have to protect above all else. I'm saying that it needs to be on the table. So I'm not saying that
yeah.
I'm not saying that we're perfect and that the American justice system is the end all be all. As much of a patriot as I am, I understand that we have flaws, we have imperfections, and there's things that we need to improve and grow upon. But that doesn't mean we throw everything out the window. When you get a flat tire, you don't ditch the car.
Yeah. Now, and you make some points, and I have a question for you.
Absolutely.
Because I've talked to some friends about this. Part of the thinking is that while some people may not actually ever utilize or support the death penalty, some people feel a little comfortable just knowing it's out there. I.e. my situation, I have kids, and I don't know that this is actually for me. It's just some feedback that I got back. But, you know, it's like if somebody were to come and murder my baby, it just kind of gives me a warm, fuzzy feeling that at least it's there. Now, and again, I'm a moderator. I'm not saying it does. Perhaps if this did ever happen, I would not be the sort of parent that would want to actually have somebody put to death because of it. I mean, I'm a forgiveness person. Sorry. I don't know what I would do. I also think, you know, we have laws, but what about that? So like, cause we don't execute that many people annually. I mean, I know Texas pretty much kind of.
We put in a high speed lane, unfortunately.
I was going to say, we take first prize, which is a little.
Yeah, there's some things you shouldn't be competing here, in.
If I could raise one eyebrow, you know, I would, but.
You can.
No, I don't. No, I can't. Oh, he has a great raised eyebrow.
There we go. That's a good one.
So what about that? What about just like leaving it out there? Do you, well, okay. What do you think would be the overall effect if our country just took the death penalty off the table?
I believe
it would celebrate.
I mean,
no, but
I believe it would be a huge civil rights win, because with the death penalty becomes inescapable error. The justice system is horribly flawed, and you can never have a perfect justice system as long as it's based on people. And I also don't believe that punishment should be based on emotion. Emotion should be removed from this process, and it should be just the facts.
Well, isn't that what a judge does?
That is what a judge does. But the whole idea of retribution is an emotional idea.
That's true.
But also, kind of. I think retribution is more of an idea of like equalization, like not as in like mom feeling that she's like, that's another point, having the parents feel closure, and that's another point. But retribution to me is more of logical balance. Like it's
choose
yin and yang.
Action, choose the consequence.
Right. So it's like if I stub my toe, it's gonna hurt. If I kill someone, I mean it's that yin and yang for me. So for me it's one of those things. It's more balanced. It's not, I get what you're saying. I think that you're right in about 60-70% of the cases about that. That's if we agree.
We didn't tell the
I'll do your job.
No worries.
Take over.
There's the sass again.
Take over.
Raise the eyebrow.
I think that.
Yeah.
I think that some of it is. I think 60% of it is what you're saying is an emotional response, and I agree with you there. But I think that after that comes the logical response of what retribution is: the state putting into play and balance. The action that was taken that is so heinous that that person cannot be rehabilitated, and that the taxpayers do not deserve a burden on their pocketbooks either. And I know you said there's three times the cost.
I actually read that too. Sorry, Chris.
No, you're good.
That's just in Texas. In other states, it's perpetuated.
It's like $3 million for a regular person in prison to appeal, blah, 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 and be housed. And it's like $6 million.
Well, is the cost due to the appeals and the legal process that gets through there, appeal, or is that because of the process, or is it because of the death penalty itself? Because one of those is the legal system. The other one is the death penalty. Because the legal system, you can appeal all day and waste money, throw money out. If I wanted to sue you for $27, I can appeal it all the way up to the Supreme Court and cost that millions of bucks.
If
I have the money to spend over $27.
Right. So people are saying, you know, that the death penalty is, you know, put out there. Really, we started with deterrence. But take our police officers. I mean, when I was a kid, even in New York back then, they said, you know, if you murdered a police officer, you were getting the death penalty. Yeah. And now, these are individuals that are protecting our liberties every day. And shouldn't there be a death penalty for certain types of murders, Dakota? Or you don't think for any? I mean, if you have the serial killer that's, hey, he's found all this evidence and Charles Manson type, they shouldn't get the death penalty either. They should just live their life out. And so what?
I don't believe we should have double standards. I am against the death penalty. On death row, it is estimated that 4.1% of inmates are innocent, and there is a 1.6% exoneration rate.
Is that documented?
That is documented. I have sources if you need them.
Well, we like to tell our audience.
Yeah, like if you got it
earlier. I had it up earlier.
Just if you can, and that the second, but you could just say.
So, but let me, since you're looking, I'll jump in. Oh, go ahead.
You just tell them where you got
it's from the National Academy of Sciences.
Okay.
4.1% of defendants sentenced to death are innocent, and there's only 1.6% exoneration rate.
Oh, I remember that too, now that I remember.
So we have to assume that we are executing innocent people. Now, once held solid evidence for conviction is now being seen as junk science. 20, 30 years ago, bite mark analysis was sound science and led to multiple death penalty convictions. nowadays, you cannot even enter that as credible evidence
right.
because it's been proven to be junk science. So as technology progresses, we are finding that more and more people that we have sentenced to death are innocent.
Does that work the other way, too?
I was just fixing to jump in.
Go ahead. No, do it. Do it, girl.
I was going to jump in with that because I read that our death row rates, the numbers have been dropping since 2003. So it kind of does work the same way. With our technology, we are moving, so won't it become less of a needed tool in the first place? Even if we're talking serial killer, you know, when a crime occurs, we have DNA now to be able to locate these people, so we're not going to have the serial killers doing the heinous crimes.
Well, I'm curious, so what was the number of people that are unfairly prosecuted? Was it 4.6% you said?
4.1%.
4.1%. So 95.9% of people are correctly put on the death, are correctly put to death? 95.9. My math.
Hold up, because there's this big little situation called the O.J. Simpson trial. I don't know how.
Before my time. I'm
just saying, like,
it doesn't fit,
said I don't like double standards, to some degree, if you have enough money, you can get away with a lot of things. Now,
we have a guy here in Texas that hired hitmen to kill his wife, and his name? He lives out in Portland.
You need to share that with people that might not be from Texas.
No, but I mean, I'm just saying, like, and there's stuff like that, like, enough money can buy you a lot of
stuff.
That's
what I'm saying. So, we have the side of innocent people maybe being prosecuted wrong, and then we have this other side of guilty people get away with X, Y, and Z because they have enough money and can manipulate the system enough. So that's not enough to say, hey.
Commonality. There's the general good for the general population. You can't make a special law that hits every, like, the law should hit everybody, right? But you have to govern as much as possible to hit the biggest margin possible. Like, I can't lay across this whole table, but I'm big enough and I eat enough cheeseburgers where I can lay across most of this table. And so you have to kind of cover as much ground as possible.
That was so funny.
You have to try to cover as much ground as possible. And unfortunately, there's bad systems and there's broken systems.
We're ready, Dakota. Go ahead.
So the issue with the disparity between the poor and rich when it comes to sentencing and the death penalty is significant.
I didn't say it that way, but
you might as well go into demographics because there's race also.
No,
absolutely.
I agree.
Race plays a big part.
No, I agree.
Stage is yours.
When it comes to the poverty rate, 95% of people on death row are found to be underadvantaged, economically speaking, as well as 76% of the victims of death row cases being white, when only 50% of murders are white. Murder victims are white. So there's a huge disparity when it comes to minorities killing white people, when it comes to death sentencing. So the death penalty itself generally feeds into deep-held biases in the jury. Now, they may not know that they're biased, but some of them, they're feeling a bit more.
Well, the gentleman in Texas right now, Rodney Reed.
Who's
up, you know, it's all over the news in case y'all didn't know Kim Kardashian.
That's why we're doing the show.
Well, mm-hmm.
We wanted to get Kim on the show, but she wouldn't.
Well, his jury was an all-white panel. And so, and of course, it was, what, 20 years ago?
It was a good while ago.
Yeah.
So, and when you say, I don't really know because I haven't looked at the numbers, but when a lot of the discretion on innocent people be from a certain generation, are we still experiencing that to date, Dakota?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah. It all depends on where it is.
Because it just seems like with our technology, that should be less.
Biases are biases, and it all depends on the environment that you're raised in. So if you're coming from an area that you haven't integrated very well with minorities, then you may have these biases held. If you come from a place where you've never really been forced to question these stereotypes that are pushed on us by society, then you may hold them deep down whether or not you believe in them.
Yeah, but what does that have to do with our technology? I mean, to land on death row and get the death penalty, it usually includes.
Well, that's why Rodney Reed's conversations up, because they have new information that could exonerate.
They have a lot of new information.
Yeah, so what was it?
That's where Dakota is.
I would raise one eyebrow right now if I could.
So,
they have a lot of.
Go ahead with that. So
why do we have so much information and we're still struggling to get an appeal to hear this new evidence? We have had bipartisan coalitions in the U.S. Congress as well as Texas Congress pleading with the governor to stay this execution and hear the new evidence. It is outlandish that we should have this much untested evidence in a capital murder case. So even
I have to agree. I read a lot of that. It's like, oh yeah, I'm not supposed to agree.
Take that
out. I'm not agreeing on the death penalty. I'm agreeing on the content that I read on the Reed case. I'm backing it up.
So yeah, so what do you think about that, Chris? I mean, now they're showing, you know, the evidence that they can find. Maybe some of these prisoners were killed who were innocent because our technology wasn't as good back then, and they couldn't have afforded to get that information out.
No, I mean, I think the Rodney Reed situation is an example that the system is never going to be perfect, no matter what we do. And with the situation, the fact is when they say that there's a lot of new information there, and the people that are credible people that are in that case are saying that it's there, then it needs to simply come to a point of, hey, stop, pump the brakes, let's take another look at this. We should always err on the side of caution, especially for something like the death penalty. I think it's a very, very serious thing, but I think it needs to stay on the table. So. With Rodney Reed's situation, with that situation, with anything that could be counted as new evidence, it needs to get opened up. Like, I mean, when it's credible people, if it's like my great grandma's, like, I found new evidence, blah, blah, but that's one thing. But when it's credible people that are saying there's a new batch of evidence, stuff that can exonerate him, DNA information, when it's stuff that's credible science, not bite marks, when it's DNA, then we need to take a serious look at it. We need to pump the brakes and have a second look. And I'm all for that.
Yeah, but doesn't that go to it being more expensive then? Like, if we keep doing that, because you said it's
well, I mean,
not,
this is a rare case. This is a super rare case.
It is rare, and you're right. But it's.
I mean, when's the last time you heard about anything anywhere like this happening? Like, it's.
Well, I guess that kind of just brings home the point that much more. It is rare, and it is large. And how in the crap did we get here? Because this is a person's life.
Yeah.
We are the land of the free. Don't we have an obligation?
Land of the brave.
Don't we have an obligation to not have that happen? And the fact that it did, shouldn't that be a huge problem for all of us? And so that's why I guess we're having to visit the death penalty conversation. If we didn't have that, then it wouldn't be maybe as dire.
Yeah, absolutely. So what we're essentially doing is we are setting a deadline on when they can prove their innocence.
Oh, there we go. That's worded very well.
So... you should have every opportunity.
It's true.
You should have every opportunity up until you dying of natural causes to prove your innocence. Since we have exonerations like this, and it may seem like a rare case, but this has happened before. Over 100 times, people have been exonerated on death row. It's not rare, and that's the scary part. So we're getting people are getting exonerated, but we have to assume some of them are getting executed as well.
But is it fair for victims' families to pay for this person to have 3 squares a day, a roof over their head, blah, blah, blah? And from what I read, they don't even work anymore because there is an escape and like something. Is it fair?
Don't they have a union? Just kidding.
Is it fair to ask the victims' families to be paying for all of that also? Because obviously, I read the way from my reaction. I like how you worded the whole up until their natural death. So the victims are just going to pay for this person to make their case until their natural death. Is that fair?
Well, I mean, we all pay for prisons. And if we send someone to death, we're going to be paying that 3x price tag. When we're talking about this and we bring up the topic of innocent people, is it fair to them?
No, I completely agree.
Well, how far does that ratio of 100 people, like, is that like since 1977 that 100 people have been exonerated number? Do you know when that is?
That's since 73.
73. So how many people have been executed on death row total?
I don't know the exact figure. I believe it's close to 2,000, I believe.
I had it written down.
So like was that? What percentage is that?
Because I'm
math special.
I had it on my computer, and I don't have it now because I cleared all my tabs.
Well, in Texas alone, it was 520. But on that, while you're looking that up, we do need to take a break.
Oh, yeah,
and this is a good time for you guys to get your thoughts.
1,400
nationally?
Nationally.
Okay. So I was like 520 in Texas.
Yeah, because we take the first part.
Okay. To get a lollipop, too?
I don't know.
Sometimes we compete in the wrong things.
Well said.
At this point, we're going to take a little hard break here and talk about our sponsors. Our premier sponsor has been with us ever since we started 20 shows ago. 20 shows ago, Sherry.
Wow.
Wow. That's a long time. is elevated roofing. In fact, where we are at our secret location that we can't tell anybody, we're in Prosper. Who said that? Well, right down the street from James Honeycutt, we were driving up to the studio location and we see Elevated Roofing Truck. And they've been our premier sponsor, very loyal to us. In fact, they do a lot of work where you live. I won't say where you live. But by the way, Dakota works for Wicked Wings Bar. What town is that in?
Wicked Wing Pub, sir.
Sorry, Wicked Wing Pub, sir. Just Wicked kidding. Wing. I know. I'm just kidding. What town is that in?
That's in Keller.
Keller. Well, I know that Elevated Roofing, if your boss needs a new roof on that pub, they're the perfect guys.
Just in case.
So they can really take care of their really expert roofers, and they don't wait for like these recent storms we had for them to come knocking on your door. They work on their reputation. They come to your house. They do a full service job. They're just very professional. Probably the largest roofer in North Texas. You live up in Aubrey. They
come out here. We got so much wind. We've got roofs blowing off. So
I heard they were the roof for the year in Aubrey.
That would make sense.
Yeah. So if you need a new roof, you consider a new roof, please consider calling our premier Common Ground sponsor and tell them CG sent you. At 469-200-0582. That's 469-200-0582. Our other sponsor is...
Bell & Sparrow. Bell & Sparrow is a faith-based nonprofit organization. It was created by women, for women, and they go all over. They go to Portland, they go to Haiti and Guatemala, and they just took a trip to New Mexico, and what they do is they find women that need help, and they help teach them trades in order to make the product so they can sell. Recently, during our last commercial, there was an opportunity to buy craft supplies for jewelry.
Really?
And the ladies have made it.
Did you get some beads?
No, but we gotta hurry. The jewelry's been made, and it's actually available on their online shop. So you can buy this jewelry that was being created by these ladies and help empower them. Awesome. Bell & Sparrow helped.
Where are they getting all this money for this sponsorship?
They get it from donations.
Oh, so they're not laying out the money for this.
No, it's a nonprofit entity, and the ladies work really hard to help.
So we have an anonymous sponsor that actually sponsors this commercial. That's where
I
was going.
I was talking about Bell & Sparrow.
Sorry.
But if you want to donate to Bell & Sparrow, they're great. Organization and available on Facebook and Bell and Sparrow. Are you going to do that?
Yeah, bellandsparrows.org. That's Belle and Sparrows, like the bird, .org. And lastly, our last sponsor is getbloomly.com. So do you have a girlfriend or a significant other? I'm just asking. There you go. Well, getbloomly.com is a North Texas company, and he specializes in floral arrangements, and he actually customizes your arrangements. So you could go to his website at getbloomly.com, but if you want, you can call him or text him or email and say, hey, I have a special occasion. I really want to put some of this or some of that. I'm not a big flower guy, so I couldn't tell you. But and he'll put it together. He does corporate too. So he does a lot of restaurants down in Highland Park. He does Cartier in Highland Park. So, your boss wants to spruce it up, or you want to put flowers at the Wicked Wing Bar in Keller.
Wicked Wing Pub.
Pub. I keep on doing that.
I'm here, Steve.
I appreciate that. Then please check it out, getbloomly.com. And we are back. That wasn't that bad. So we ended it off with Dakota was going to make a point, I believe, about something.
Well, I can make a point on multiple different things.
Let's
go.
The young Chris Betts right there.
Well, if you don't mind, we did jump on the race thing, and we kind of jumped right into that to Rodney Reed. So I do want to make a remark on that. So racial breakdown for those sentenced to death in 1977, 48.6% white, 40.9% black, 8.9% Hispanic and 1.6% other. Now, what this shows is the number of people that were actually executed
So that's the 1,400 or 1,500? That
no,
were there.
Because that was in 76.
This is since 77.
Since 76.
And so the race of defendants executed since 1976 is actually 56% white, 35% black, 7% Hispanic, and 2% other. So actually, the rate of execution after life sentencing is actually lower for blacks and higher for whites.
I would like to know what
that is on the from Edward Koch, LLB, the former mayor of New York City, when he did an article in a study on statistics show death penalty not
racist. Do you know I met Edward Koch?
Did he like you?
I read that, actually.
Did I met him?
No, the part about the, anyway.
So quick story, I was walking down the street in Manhattan. I know you're going to respond, so I know I'm holding your spot there. And I was just walking down the street, I believe my wife on Fifth Avenue, and, you know, it's always crowded there. And all of a sudden, it was like this, like the Red Sea. It just started parting, and I was just minding my own business walking.
And you're like, this is for me, Steve Nossman.
Yeah, right? And all of a sudden, I was face-to-face with Ed Koch.
Koch?
Thanks, whatever. The mayor. Ed Koch. And I go, and his security guards were all around. Like, who's this guy, you know? And I go, Mr. Mayor. And he goes, hello. And I shook his hand. It was kind of cool. But go ahead.
The point I made about the racial disparity wasn't on the race of the defendants. It was the race of the victim in the case.
Okay.
Ah,
my bad.
So where the case is a white victim, there's a significantly higher chance of them getting the death penalty. So.
Okay.
Oh, so you're – okay. I see what you're saying.
He's talking about situational. I was talking about total.
When the victim is white, then the probability is higher.
Correct.
As opposed to when it's not a white person. I got it.
Correct.
Hmm.
It's 76% of the victims in death row cases are white. 76%.
The victims, yeah.
Although, yeah, that's kind of like the Rodney Reed case. That's what they were talking about also, is because it's being said that he had a relationship with the victim who was a white female. And during that time, that it was really not heard of, and so that was part of one of the things that kind of semi worked against him when during the time. I just read it, y'all.
So the Rodney Reed case,
that was like it's
so disappointing. Even before new evidence came out, the original trial is just full of gross negligence. So the murder weapon was never tested for DNA. The coroner's reports were horrifically inaccurate and were used to base the conviction off of. So during the autopsy, they found Reed's DNA inside the victim and said that they had had intercourse less than 24 hours.
But that's because they were dating, right?
It's because, they had a relationship. But actually, looking back at it, that the amount of semen that was left in the body is more likely to have been within a 72-hour frame. It could not have been within the last 24 hours.
Yeah.
So much of it was dead.
Regarding death penalty then, so let's bring from the read to the point that you're making about death penalty. You're saying that human error is something. Is that where you're going? I don't want to put the words in your mouth.
Human error and a prosecutor's need to get a conviction, regardless of whether or not it's that right person. So
what about if we leave the death penalty in place and put in consequences for an eager prosecutor? No, because then that would, bias our...
Yeah.
I was just thinking out loud.
That was good.
I shouldn't have said that.
So what do you think about that, Chris, about the human, positioning of trying to get a conviction on death penalty or, one of these scenes that, is in the media and they want to make an example out of this particular alleged, murderer?
No, I think that's an unfortunate situation. It's a terrible, unfortunate, it's too light of a term. It's a terrible situation. And there's always those gotta win people no matter what. And so there you could have somebody who wants to win, they're on the side of Hitler, and they would go try to win for that. I mean, there's people that are like that across the globe. With this situation and those gotta win prosecutors, and poor CSI. I mean, poor CSI and all these things, those are
fun of a good show now.
Poor CSI and these other situations are all kind of more relevant to a bad system and a bad bureaucracy, not necessarily towards the morality or the building of what the death penalty is or should be, because this kind of poor planning can go to anything. I mean, when it's arson, they can have a poor CSI. When it's multiple things. So there's just sometimes there's not controls, there's not variables placed in, there's too much of a margin for error. There's a lot of situations that go into it. With that being said, that's why we have mistrials. Like if they find situations that are ridiculous like this, and there's tons of mistrials that happen where murder cases and people that could be getting the death penalty get mistrial and walk free. That happens not as much as you'd think, but it happens.
Yeah.
And where I think that one of the bigger issues comes into play is we need stricter controls on Leo. Like as far as like with CSI going, you need to have a system and a standard in place to make sure that these kind of errors don't happen. And as far as like go get them attorneys, like one of the biggest fads that's been going on for the last 10 years is big attorney firms doing pro bono work for these guys so they can get their new lawyers, then get them experience and name recognition to get up there and go beat these guys, the other big guys. Yeah, he did a pro bono work and smoked your guts. Like, and that's a big fad in the legal world right now. I talked to a guy, Matthew Beebe. He's a big political guy. He lives out in Tarrant County, Fort Worth, and he thinks there's no new evidence against Rodney Reed. And I disagree with him. He's a good friend of mine, but I'll tell him I disagree. Like, we need to take a second look at it. But he's like, no, look, like this, and talks about the attorney's competition, and new DNA and all this other stuff. And, what it comes out to is yes, we have new information. So we need to take a second look. And with the attorneys and the kind of the fight there, we do have a lot of, I mean, there's that, like I said, there's that fad, and I'm repeating myself now, wasting time, but, there's that fad.
Yeah, but what you're saying is legit. Like, are we now hearing about Rodney? That's probably a bad example because you read the content, but are those people that are on death row possibly now being victimized because of the fad? You know, like, well, let's go give them hope and tell them X, Y, and Z when really they still might.
Well, that fad's only for first-time court cases. So if they first go into court, it's like, hey, look, pro bono work as a public defender. And so ABC, top 50 law firm in Dallas, Texas, is wants to go and take this to go and show they can prove their worth and get their new guys some experience and educate them behind the scenes. They use it kind of like a trial and error. Right. And they go and they use that to go in and get their guys' record up so their firm can make more money. So they go and actually defend these guys, the people that are impoverished and they're getting investigated and stuff like that. Like, and so they actually go defend these people that are on death row and try to go get wins in there. So there's that competition there that should be external because it should be a logical situation. So I agree with you there. It should be an entirely logical situation. But there's that, like
should I
said, there's that.
The bell?
There's that sure, fact. Hit the bell. So right now there's 18 states that have abolished the death penalty. So what is public opinion? Is it growing toward abolishing the death penalty or are people pretty status quo? What do you see, Dakota?
So the general consensus, an overwhelming majority of people prefer punishments alternative to the death penalty. I have figures here.
I would agree with that.
But I believe the country's morality is constantly in shift. Take, for instance, up until 2005, we were still giving minors the death penalty. And I believe it was up until 2011. Don't quote me on that, but I do have a source in here for it somewhere. We were putting people with mental handicaps to death. So as much as we may have progressed on that, we are still on the short list of countries that perform the death penalty frequently. Four countries make up 80% of the world's executions, those being Iran, Saudi Arabia, China, and us. Is that a list we
want to be on? Is that a list we want to be on, Chris?
I mean, I don't really have any favor for those other three, but I'm still of the mindset that America has an entirely different situation than any other country in the history of the world. Sure. And with that, they have Texas, which makes us way better. So, I'm on a Texas roll today. But,
I see that.
Sad, you warned us.
I think that it's not a list we want, and we don't want to be competing for these numbers, and we're not trying to look for that. But I think that the situation comes with America has quite the different situation than these other countries. Like, America went through a civil war against itself to fight slavery. China didn't do that. Saudi Arabia didn't do that. I mean, they still have slaves in the Middle East. I mean, they still run that kind of situation. And America's done a lot of different things, different than anybody else in the history of the world's ever seen. And so to make a broad generalization to say that because of these numbers, we're on the same list as these countries, I think that there's too many details that would have to be ingrained down kind of levied and viewed to instead of saying that this is just a quick sweep and that we're equal with these other countries.
So what I'm saying is when it comes to the treatment of prisoners, we all have the death penalty and we all use it more than the other countries in the world.
Yeah, I mean, so, with treatment of prisoners here, too, in the United States, I mean, we have internet access at Fort Leavenworth for federal penitentiary people. I mean, we have...
Well,
that's not high security.
Fort Leavenworth is a federal penitentiary. That's like a military prison. That's
internet access, really, for maximum security prisoners?
Yeah, and in L.A., there's...
So let me ask this. There's one way to make the death penalty moot.
Don't kill anybody.
Don't break the law.
Hello?
I'm just kidding.
I was actually going to say that. You, yeah, I mean, don't do that. Then it's a non-issue.
I mean, it's simple to say, but
we should all pay taxes too.
Well, what about? Well, that's a different show. Hey, you think the people that don't pay their taxes will come on the show to defend?
Sure,
don't get me too excited about not wanting to pay taxes. I'm all in for that.
Sorry,
go ahead. You shouldn't tell. Go ahead.
I'm saying, and this is going to be really bad. Again, I'm a moderator. Even the people that might be innocent. Is it not reasonable to assume that they might be doing something that kind of caused a cloud in the first place? Don't do those or no? You made a face.
I don't know if that's reasonable to say that.
Did you think
it's a bit of a stretch.
I think it's hateful. You're so sweet to say a bit of a stretch.
Yeah, I think it's a stretch.
I think it's something that pro-death penalty people might have in their head.
A stretch.
I don't know. I'm trying to like.
I think with Dakota, like, I think that we both can agree that the death penalty is a very extreme situation.
Hey.
Sorry.
I think that we both agree it's a very extreme situation, and I think that we should always err on the side of, like with Rodney Reed, they said, "Oh, new evidence." I said, "Without a doubt, let's check it out first." But I think that it needs to be on the table for incredibly heinous situations because.
But isn't that the problem? If we are talking about taking another person's life in the United States of America, the land of the free
and the brave.
And the home of the brave.
And shouldn't it just be an all or none? We either know the person is guilty and it is factual and not broken, or we don't. There should be no. I guess what
we're not logical
about.
Creatures. We're humans. Right. And so there's not a one and a zero.
But
it's not binary.
That's what I'm saying. It's such. There's too much gray area for us to continue.
Everything's
using
gray area.
I agree with that. But then you take, we're America.
And we're the best, and that's just factual.
I'm not going to argue with it. But you slide that in. Are we being American when we know the area is so gray and we leave it there? When we're talking about somebody's life, we're not talking about them going to jail. We're not talking about them being fined.
Right.
We're not talking about them getting slapped on the wrist. This is a person's life.
Well, so how do you fix that gray area? That's human nature. So how do you fix
that? You abolish the death penalty.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, I mean, I just don't, like, it. Sure. I mean, the gray area, it's not like for the gray area, you said 4.1%. That's not a massive gray area. That falls within the margin of error. And that's exactly what it is. And that's
okay,
unfortunate.
But is that an American mentality?
Because
you know the whole no man left behind and blah, blah, blah.
I mean, the American mentality is to protect innocent life, right? That's the American mentality. And so that's why we have the grand jury of 12 people that actually make the decision, not a judge, not the attorneys.
This is true.
We have the system built out
there
to have the peers do it.
As Americans, we have a process in place. This is true.
It's not perfect by any means. Like you're saying, there's the competition of attorneys. It still goes back to the 12 grand jury members that are just a member of peers that get blank information. And as well, there's people that get put on death row, like that shouldn't be there. They're innocent. Is what I'm trying to say. Sorry. Mm-hmm. And this is not to justify that by any means, but there's tons of people to get away with tons of stuff because of the same situation.
So you're saying for the most heinous crime, heinous murders, those are the people that should get death penalty.
Yeah,
well, that's already the case. I mean, if we bring it back to the OJ case, you can fool the jury as long as you have a good enough defense.
Wait, he wasn't innocent.
Oh, sorry. No,
he wrote a book about it.
Yeah,
I can't. Y'all stop.
I didn't kill her.
I'm just gonna.
If I would have,
y'all stop. I can't.
There's a quote.
If I would have killed, I would have done it this way.
Right.
Stop.
There's a quote from a death row inmate. Capital punishment means those without the capital get the punishment. So people
that might sting a little bit.
So people who can afford a good defense generally get off with life without parole. That's factual. People who cannot afford a good attorney generally end up with a public defender. Now, keep in mind, capital cases only make up about 1% of cases tried in court. So these attorneys are horribly inexperienced when it comes to capital crimes. I've got an instance here of Gary Drinkard. He was indicted and charged with the death penalty. But his lawyers were proven to be horribly incompetent, and that's what got him off. For instance, one of them specialized in collections and commercial work, and the other specialized in foreclosure and bankruptcy law. nothing to do
with the key is find a terrible attorney and then you're going to quit it.
Oh, there we go. Don't spend all the money fighting.
Yeah, just find a terrible attorney.
Well, I mean, regardless of that, the lawyers failed to show that on the day of the crime, Mr. Drinkard was disabled with a back injury and he had been at the neurologist that day. Now, after being in custody for 7 years, five of those being on death row, seeing people walk past him to their death, smelling the burnt flesh of his fellow cellmates.
I think they used a now.
Now, this was back during when they were still doing
chair.
Still had the chair, you know.
The
speaking of,
didn't just say that.
Multiple states use a three-drug cocktail when it comes to lethal injections. It used to be sodium thiopental, which was a sedative.
I don't like that cocktail. Yeah. I was reading
you
it a lot.
You never drink cocktails. I'm just a vodka person.
No. Jen, we've had this conversation.
This one burns a bit more.
gives you a hangover that you don't wake up.
This is so bad we're joking about this.
It is awful.
So sodium thiopental was used as the first agent as a sedative. And after that, they'd introduce a chemical that would paralyze the body. Then after that, they'd introduce a chemical that would stop the heart.
Is this going to weird our audience out?
Sure, we like it.
No.
Okay, but this goes back to the ethicality of it, because people like to think that the lethal injection is humane.
Oh, yeah.
It's not always.
Yeah.
So the only reason that they use the paralytic is so the body doesn't thrash around when you induce cardiac arrest. Now, in 2011... the United States banned the import of sodium thiopental, and the last U.S. manufacturer of it stopped making it. So a lot of states have adopted midazolam, which, by the way, is not a sedative. It's not an anesthetic. It's just a mere sedative. It's been likened to a martini in a syringe or just like a Valium.
Oh, can't hear this.
Really? This is a show. Come on.
It was bad. I'm really glad you're sharing it.
So
get to that point of the cocktail.
Okay, so assume you get midazolam.
All right.
You're only kind of out.
Not me, but...
To everyone else, it looks like you're out, but you're still conscious. Then they inject you with the paralytic, which slowly paralyzes every muscle in your body, including your diaphragm, meaning you cannot breathe. After that, they inject you with potassium chloride, which stops the heart.
Right.
This is likened to fire running through your veins.
Yeah.
It is extremely excruciating. And because we have used such poor judgment in allowing midazolam to be the sedative in this case, people are suffering, and we don't even know about
it. So that's the point, I guess, as being inhumane. So what do you say about that, Chris?
Firing squad.
I have a question for you. Do you think that most Americans, if they knew this, because I mean, I even knew it, but I've seen documentaries and everything, but I don't think the average American, do you think if the average American really was forced to be informed, do you think that we would still all be, not all?
We wouldn't want that method. No, I mean, I don't want that method. I mean, I don't want somebody saying, I mean, I believe in the most humane way possible. If you just had a switch you could push and it was over, I'd be fine with that.
We
don't have one of those.
I mean, we do. You pull a trigger. I mean,
but
literally, like, I'm not
dogs,
trying to say firing
squad.
But when you put
dogs down, are they getting the same thing?
They're getting pentobarbital, which is what Texas uses in injections. And that's not always an exact science, too, because they have not given up their source of where they get it. Some speculate it's coming from compounding pharmacies, which are essentially unregulated drug manufacturers.
So why isn't there a solution to this? If we are going to keep the death penalty, it should be proper.
I mean, the government's broken the law so many times to try to provide the chemicals for execution. After sodium thiopental was banned, Arizona procured sodium thiopental from an illegal pharmacy in the back of a driving school in London.
Was that? Do you know?
Yeah.
I watched a documentary on this like a year or two ago. So
should have taken notes for the show.
I know.
I should have too. I should have read all of those.
Maybe
I vaguely remember, but I do remember a lot.
I don't have
those.
The date on it.
I remember the discontinuation of the needed for the one of the portions to the cocktail.
I believe it was 2012, but I'm not exactly sure. I don't have the source with me. I do have the link, though, which doesn't help me much. Also, another case, they tried to procure it from an illegal party pill manufacturer in India. So the government is going through
extreme situations.
It's kind of weird.
Well, you silenced the room because I just don't know. Like,
the government
not
is not always the good guy.
No.
As it's been made clear.
Right. Has always been about that, too. So.
Yeah,
I'm and I agree with you.
I'm a Ron Pollard, so we can have a lot of good conversations.
He started off. Yeah, he came out of the gate talking about that.
My thing with this is I don't believe that the state should have this power over us because I think that it can be abused. For instance, it hasn't been used yet, but on the books we have the death penalty for crimes against the state. Now, that's left up to interpretation.
That's what they usually say for treason, but like
treason,
it's up to interpretation.
It's up to interpretation. So do we want that around?
Yeah,
and also, when it comes to it, we are killing people who kill people to teach people that killing is wrong.
Well, I don't agree with it. I don't think that's why we are punishing people who killed people that took somebody out of this world as innocent. So we're giving them the same punishment they gave to somebody else. We're equalizing.
What's the deterrent argument?
Which argument?
The argument that it's a deterrent. Is that not what I said?
No, I think it's a great deterrent. I mean, there's times where everybody in the room has been frustrated. Oh, but you know, there's something that's gonna happen to me. You know, like I would go key that car. Like just for example, I would go key that. Oh, then somebody will catch me or something like that. And there's always that deterrent. And so
it's
lots
a moral thread.
It's a moral thread, right? And so if somebody doesn't have that moral thread, then there's no such thing as a deterrent, right? And so then if they don't have that moral thread, then why are we fighting to keep somebody who has no moral thread, that has no issue taking life whatsoever? Why are we fighting on error for that person?
I hate to say it and take us back there, but I want to keep it like a legit show. Uh-oh. When he made the firing squad joke, I mean, my family's hunters. I know where to hit a deer to make it quick and painless. Do we do this cocktail so we can just feel good about ourselves on how we're doing it?
Exactly. It's the whole point of it.
What do you have to say?
It's based on ignorance. Like, it's the same thing. Like, they're doing this so they can say, feel good. They give an injection. So it's minor action because the electric chair was very, very gruesome.
Gosh.
And they would see, they would have you sit in front of a room of people and they'd have it behind a glass window and you'd watch them. They'd have to have witnesses to the death.
That's
which
right.
is very, very heinous. And it's entirely ridiculous.
Did you want to make one last point? Because we're about to close.
Yeah, for sure. When it comes to the paralytic, that whole thing is to make it appear like this person's already out. They just can't scream or tell anyone that they're still there. They've lost
right,
the ability. At the end of this argument, it comes down to the fact that it's not equal. It's not effective. I have source here, actually. Let's see. A report by the National Research Council titled Deterrence in the Death Penalty stated that studies claiming the death penalty has a deterrent effect on murder rates are fundamentally flawed and should not be used when making policy decisions. It's not a deterrent. It's not cost effective. It's significantly more effective, expensive than life in prison. So,
and it was a good discussion. Sorry to cut you off. Do you want to say any final thoughts, Chris?
Sure. No, I think Dakota has a really good grasp on it. I mean, I definitely should have prepared way more. I had my notes with me.
But you did jump in for us.
Yeah, Chris did come in.
We need
full
to
disclosure.
That.
We had a different guest, Chris stepped in last minute. Thank you so much, Chris Betts. Thank you, Dakota Rudzig. And
you're getting Crystal.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, I mean, where Dakota talks about the cost and everything like that, that's more located to the appeal system and the appeals court rather than is to actually being the death penalty, because you can appeal anything up as far as you want to go as long as you have the money for it. And so, or if you have the pro bono work for that. So that's where it comes to a cost for taxpayers, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So there's a lot of different things to go into and there's a lot of different words to go say with it, but I think
you don't get to jump in.
Are we done now?
But, yeah, I mean that's
no.
It.
Dakota wants to correct something, but we have to pick an ending more.
So
yeah.
Go ahead.
It doesn't have to do with how much money the client has, because keep in mind 95% of people on death row are they're poor, so they can't afford this. This is paid for by the state. Keep in
mind,
not
the show, but go ahead.
Yeah.
We wish.
We need the appeals process to make sure that these innocent people get off.
Okay.
If we're going to have a death penalty, we need a solid appeals process. That's
okay. No, I mean, I think that like she mentioned earlier, we have the technology now to slow down that wasteful spending. We can use DNA and proper mechanics and proper, you know, controls to make sure things are done, but we need improvement on those controls and make sure that we are beyond a shadow of a doubt before we do any kind of death penalty, before we do any kind of decisions like that. So,
well, I want to thank again, Chris Betts for coming in and Dakota Rudzig. Thank you so much for coming up and, thank Wicked Wings Pub Keller for letting you come and spend time with us. Sherry, do we know what our next show is yet?
We have an idea, but I'm going to
good. So we're going to keep it a surprise. Thank you so much, everybody, for listening. Follow us on our Facebook page at We Discuss, You Decide, or Common Ground. And check us out on commonground.tx.com. Thank you all. Take care. God bless.